Please turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the book of 1 Corinthians and chapter number 12. Beautifully done, and I appreciate that tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 12. The Bible says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, bond or free, have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the ear shall say, 'Because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of thee,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant uncomeliness, For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. That there be no schism or division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular." If you're in the habit of marking your Bible, I want you to mark a few words in verse number 20. It's the words, "many members, yet but one body." Many members, but one body. And I want to preach to you on that subject tonight. Our Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for your love and mercy in our life. Help me as I stand to preach to be emptied of self. Forgive my sins. Help me to be a clean vessel. May I not be hindering you in any time, in any way, in any form. Help me to preach as only you can. And may you get glory and honor to your name in Jesus' name. Amen. The church at Corinth was a carnal church. As a matter of fact, the Word of God tells us in chapter 1, verses 10 through 13, that there were divisions among this church. They were still babes in Christ in chapter 3, verses 1 to 3, and they had immorality in their midst in chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. But even among all this, they still exhibited and possessed spiritual gifts. You see, every believer has at least one spiritual gift. The Bible says in 1 Peter 4:10, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." In 1 Corinthians 12:7, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal." Now the problem in Corinth was not the lack of gifts, because all of them had a gift, but rather the coveting of gifts not given by God. In other words, there were those who were trying to practice gifts that they had not received. And as a result of this, there was chaos. There was confusion in the church. Now with this in mind, the Holy Spirit brings out a truth concerning the Christian. And if you will, this is the next name of a Christian, if you will, to show us his mind in this matter. And it's found in verse 20 where he says it's many members, but it's only one body. Now there are three main things I see in this text as we consider those who are saved to be the body of Jesus Christ, yet made up of many members. Many members, but one body. There's three things I want to give you. I want to give you an explanation, an illustration, and an application tonight. Number one, let's look at the explanation in verse number 12. The Bible says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized or placed into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." Now in these verses, God explains what he's talking about when he mentions the body of Jesus Christ.
He says Christ is made up of a body of believers. And it's made up of every born again child of God in the New Testament church age. Now he explains this with the statement, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Now let me help you with this. That has nothing to do with water baptism. It has nothing to do with water. The word baptized here means to be put into. In other words, when you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God's Holy Spirit took you out of Adam and put you into the body. He baptized you. He placed you in the body of Jesus Christ. Now, Romans chapter 12, verse 5 says, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members of one another. Now, stay with me here. Now, it's interesting here that this word baptized is in the aorist tense. Now, what in the world does that mean? Well, the aorist tense speaks of a one-time action that took place in the past. For instance, this is a powerful verse that teaches us that when you are saved, you are saved eternally. It is a one-time for all-time action that takes place and never has to be repeated again. And see, when you trusted Christ and the Holy Spirit of God placed you and baptized you into, he put you into the body of Christ. Once you're in his body, there'll never be a time when you're out of his body. Now that's a great thought right there. Now stay with me here. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter number 2, as a matter of fact, hold your place here in 1 Corinthians 12, flip with me to Ephesians chapter number 2. We're trying to explain to you what God is teaching us in 1 Corinthians 12. He's trying to show us something that we in the New Testament who have trusted Jesus Christ, we are many members, but we're one body. We are one body that's made up of many members. We're explaining this, giving an explanation of it. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13. The Bible says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were far off and to them which were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Flip over to chapter 4 of Ephesians. Look at verse number 4. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Now flip back to 1 Corinthians 12 and wait on me there. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, the Bible says there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Now, what's he trying to tell us? He's trying to tell us that all of God's born-again believers in the church age, the Jew and the Jew can't look down on the Gentile, and the Gentile can't look down on a Jew, because Jew and Gentile alike who know the Lord Jesus Christ are in the same body. That's the explanation. Then he gives us number 2, an illustration, because my sermon comes out in verse 3 to prepare us for next week. Number 1, an explanation. Number 2, an illustration. Look at verse number 14 of our text and following. He gives us an explanation, then he starts illustrating it. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? The word of God goes on to say, if the ears shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? Look at verse 19. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say in the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. The illustration he gives here is to help us understand what he's talking about. He's saying every born-again child of God, saved by the grace of Almighty God in the New Testament, is made into the body, placed into, baptized into the body, the one body of Jesus Christ. There are many members, but only one body. Then he turns the tide and says, let me illustrate. Take your own body. You're one person, but you have many members. Now stay with me here. He's trying to teach us something. The Lord chose to illustrate his spiritual body, the church, with our human body. He illustrates the fact that just as the human body is made of many members, eyeballs, a tongue, teeth, a mouth, hair, feet, hands. I almost said something, but I didn't. I jumped on myself this morning with Zacchaeus. So, hey. By the way, what were you all laughing at this morning is what I want to know. He chose to make up and show us that just like the human body is made of many members who are all important, so is the body of Christ. This is a simple illustration to get a major point across. Get this, you are one body. Boy, that's deep. Listen, can anybody understand that? You're one person, but you have many members. And every one of your members are important. Every one of them. And that brings me to my third and final point. And I'm going to slow down a little bit. Now, you know I don't mean that. But we've seen, number one, an explanation. Number two, an illustration. Number three, an application. It's brought out in verse 27. It says, now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. He's speaking to them. He's given them an explanation that Jew and Gentile, bond and free, have been placed into the body of Christ by the Spirit of Almighty God at salvation. He illustrates that with their own human body, and then he turns it back and he says, oh, by the way, what I'm talking about you. You are one of the many members of God's one body. In other words, everything that he said up to this point, he's now applying to them. Now, there are several things I want you to notice about these many members. By the way, if you're a Christian tonight, if you're saved tonight, you are a member of the body of Christ. That's a blessing. Let me give you three things about these many members that make up the one body. Number one, first of all, members are single. We see this in verse 18 and 27. Look at it. Verse number 18 says, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. Look at verse number 27. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Now get this. God is telling us that every member individually helps make up the one body. For instance, just like this finger helps make my body, this finger, this finger, this finger, this finger, God has given every single solitary individual who has chosen him as Lord and Savior, he has given them the exalted privilege to be a single member of his body. That's a blessing, folks. That's a blessing. The Bible tells us again in Romans 12:5, so we being many are one body in Christ and every one members in particular. Isn't it a blessing to be a single member of the body of Christ? What a privilege. What a privilege. Number one, members are single. Number two, members are set. We see this in verses 18 and 24. Look at it. It says, but now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. Look at verse number 24. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered or put together the body. God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. Now, this word set in verse 18 is a powerful word. You know what that word set literally means? It means in an upright and active position. That's what that verse, that's what that word means. In other words, God put you in his body to get busy. That's what that word's talking about. He didn't put you in the body just to lie dormant. He didn't put you in the body just to sit there and say, well, praise God, I'm part of the body. No, he puts you in the body. He puts you in an upright and an active position. He wants you to get busy doing something so the body of Christ can move forward in unity and work in unity and keep going and keep moving and keep moving. Are you listening? Every part of my body has to work in unity for the body to accurately do what it's been made to do. If I'm walking right now, which I am, I know I'm walking like a robot, but I'm trying to illustrate something here, then my brain has to be working right. It has to be sending signals to my feet. And what we're saying here is that God has placed the foot on the body to walk and to run. He's not placed the foot on the body saying, no, I'm not moving. I mean, thank God I'm a foot, but I'm staying right here, buddy. You listening? If that foot refuses to move, it's going to slow the entire body down. Anybody with me out there, say amen. Thank you for waking up tonight. What am I saying? I'm saying that these members in particular, they are single. They are set. The bottom line is God places us where and what we are. As a matter of fact, you listening? We cannot change what and where God places us. You can't do that. Now, here's a deep statement. I make a lot of them. No matter how hard the hand tries, it'll never be a foot. I don't care how hard it tries. It'll never be a foot. And vice versa. Now, look at verses 15 and 16. I'm going to show you something here. The Bible says, the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? If the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? Look at verse number 18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body. Hey, who made you what you are? God did. Does he know what he's doing? Sure he does. If he made you a finger, you listening? Be the best finger on the body and do your job. Realizing your importance. Stay with me here. It's interesting that God set us in the body. Look at verse number 18, the latter phrase, as it hath pleased him. Why'd he make you a hand if he did? Because that pleases him. That's what life's all about anyway, isn't it? Is life about pleasing God or pleasing yourself? Life's about pleasing God. Look at verse number 11. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally, look at this, as he will. As he will. Members are single. Members are set. And number three, and here's what I want to dwell just for a little while here tonight. I've given myself about 10 or 15 minutes to do this. Members are not only single and set, but number three, they're significant. There's no doubt about it. This is found in verses 17, 19, 21 to 23, and 26. Matter of fact, let's read it. It says, if the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? Look at verse 19. And if they were all one member, where were the body? Look at verse 21. The eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Look at verse 26. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or if one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. What's God trying to show us here? God's trying to show us that there are no unimportant members of his body. Everybody's important. You say, well, all I do is work in the nursery. If that's what God's gifted you to do, are you listening? That's important in God's eyes. Amen. If he calls you to drive a bus, if he calls you to knock on doors, by the way, he calls everybody to do that. But there are specific duties that he gives his children. And there are no unimportant members of God's body. Not one. Not one. They're all significant. Matter of fact, I see two areas in which the many members, yet one body, are significant. First of all, under this, they're significant in what they do. What they do in the body. For instance, every function of every member is important to the health of the body. It really is. And we understand there are no unimportant members of the body of Christ. Every member is significant in what they do. That's why in verses 14 to 16 we see that God says nobody should be jealous of somebody else. We see this in verses 14, for the body is not one member but many. And if the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not the body, is it therefore not of the body? What's he teaching us there? He's saying this. He's saying the eye is significant. Why does it want to be the ear? The foot is significant. Why in the world is it jealous of the hand? There's no place for jealousy in the body of Christ. Then he goes on and he says in verse 21, by the way, if you think you're a big shot and you think good night that God's blessed you more than other people, you listen, every member is significant. There are no little members. You shouldn't get jealous. And number two, you shouldn't get proud, verse 21. Look at verse 21. The eye cannot say in the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. What's God telling us here? God is showing us something. A lot of times there are people who never do anything for God because they're afraid if they don't. No, they're afraid if they do that their name won't be in the bulletin next week. Are you listening? If that's what you're in it for, get out, folks. I'm not talking about get out of the church, but get out of what you're doing. Because you have no reward in heaven if that's your duty, if that's what you're in it for. We ought to be in it because we realize that God has placed us in His body, and if we're a finger, if we're a toe, it doesn't matter what we are, we ought to thank God that we're part of that one body, amen. And we ought to do our part faithfully, realizing that we are significant in what we do. We shouldn't be jealous of other people, and we shouldn't be proud against other people, but we should realize if God's made me a hand, bless God for it, I'm not going to be jealous of the foot, and I'm not going to think I don't need the foot. And vice versa. From an experience of her childhood, Mrs. Floyd Crook recalls this. She said she came home from school one day crying because she had been given only a small part in the children's program. And while her playmate got the leading role, and after drying her tears, her mother took off her watch and put it in her hand. And her mother said, "What do you see?" She said, "Well," she said, I see the hour hand, the minute hand, the second hand." And then she said her mother took it all, turned it over, took the back of it off, and said, "What do you see now?" She said, "Well, I see tiny wheels that's moving around and around." And she said this, "This watch would be useless without every part, even the ones you can hardly see." You know the beautiful thing about a church? The church is to be a spiritual picture of the body of Christ. For instance, just like Jesus Christ's body is made up of many members, and He calls some to preach and gifts others to sing and gifts others to teach and gifts others to play sports and gifts others to do all these kind of things, just like the body of Christ is made up of individual members, this local body, this local church is to be a spiritual picture of the body of Christ. You know what that means? That means everybody should be doing something. Amen. You shouldn't come sit soaking sour, as you've heard it before. Because if you sit, you're affecting the entire whole. Somebody, somewhere, is not going to get the gospel if you just refuse to do what God's given you to do. And stay with me here. I'm trying to help you. And I'm trying to help this church. Every member is significant in what they do. Secondly, every member is significant in how they influence the body. For instance, in verse 26, "And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it." In this, we see that members influence the body. For instance, you may not take time to think much of your fingers. Have you all went home and meditated on your fingers today? Would you raise your hand? Boy, look at those fingers. I know what you teenagers are thinking right now. That I can't see mine because of the hair on them, and so I understand. But how many of y'all went home and said, "Thank God for that finger right there. Boy, isn't that a beautiful thing? Thank God for it." You don't think too much about it, did you? Unless you slammed your car door on one of them. Amen. You slam your car door on one of them, and your whole body reacts. I remember when I was playing ball at East Tennessee State, you've probably heard me say this before, but one of my dear friends up there, great, great, great man. Well, I don't know if I'd call him a great man. He was a good baseball player. He's leading off first base, and the pitcher tried to pick him off, and he dove back in head first. And now this is one of those guys that I wouldn't mess with. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, he was a real man's man. But that particular day when he dove back in head first to first base, he got up, I called timeout or whatever, he was jumping. I mean, he was in pain, bad, bad. Jumping up. I mean, just excruciating pain. What happened is he dislocated one of his fingers and his entire body was reacting. He said, "I'm not important. When you hurt, the whole body hurts. That's why it's important that the entire body, when somebody else is hurting, they go to them. Because you slam a car door on this hand, what's this hand going to immediately do? Right? Your brain sends a signal to your feet and they start jumping up and down, right? Your mouth drops wide open. It's the way it's supposed to be. But we see that there are no unimportant members in the body. What about your appendix? Some of you don't have it any longer. Don't think much about it until it goes wrong, right? Amen. His name's Dizzy Dean. Who's he? He was a dizzy man. Baseball pitcher. I know that was cheesy, folks. I know that. Once he was hit by a line drive directly on his toe. Can you imagine that? Not too big of a deal, right? But he didn't give it adequate time to heal, and instead he kept pitching. And because of the pain he felt whenever he put any weight on that toe, he changed his delivery. And because of him changing his delivery, because of the pain in his toe, he put additional stress on his pitching arm, and it forced him into early retirement. Just one toe. A little thing, but had major consequences. Whoever thinks of their liver? I know. You didn't plan on hearing about your liver tonight, did you? You don't think too much about it, but folks, listen. You're not too much without it. What about your toes? Hey, you take your big toe. I know this is deep preaching. I know it's deep. But it's so simple, yet so profound. God's showing us something. You cut your big toe off, you're going to fall on your face. Because it helps balance you. It's balancing me right now. Cut your toes off and see how long you last, folks. Hey, take your thumb. Cut it off. Hope nobody takes me up on that. You ever wondered what you'd do without your thumbs? Can you imagine not having a thumb? Can you imagine that? If I said, okay, you don't have a thumb. Now, anybody has lace-up shoes, tie them for me. Tie your shoe. Pick up that hymnal. Turn to page 483. Now flip back while you're still holding it to this page. So I can do it, but you're not going to be as quick, are you? Not going to be as effective. Why? Because there's no unimportant members in God's body, folks. Everybody's important. Now we've seen, now listen to this. We have seen how every child of God is an individual member of the one body of Christ. Verse 20. And verses 24 and 25 shares that it is God's will for there to be no disunity in his body. None. Matter of fact, that word schism right there in verse number 25, it's a butcher's term. It carries the meaning to divide in pieces. You listen to this? This is powerful. When we practice disunity and the hand says, I'm not the foot, I'm not the body, And the head starts showing pride over every other member. I don't need them. I don't need it. I don't need it. And there's disunity. Here's what God's saying. You are butchering my body. You're dividing it. And I don't want any schism. We all need to unite. We have great unity here, and I praise God for it. But we all need to continue to unite for the cause of Jesus Christ, to do our part where God placed us faithfully. If God's gifted you to sing and you're not up here in this choir because you're afraid to get up in front of people, you're not right with God. How dare you prove me wrong? Here's my Bible, prove me wrong. You can't prove me wrong, folks. You realize I was scared to death to get up in front of people? I'm still scared to get up in front of people, especially some of you. I'm a stutterer, folks. Can you believe that? Yes, because you've heard me do it time and time again. I stutter all the time. I stutter all the time. I even catch people making fun of me every now and then, believe it or not. They do. They don't think I see them, but I see them. I'm not necessarily saying in this auditorium. I hope not. The booger manner gets you, you know. What am I saying? We can all make excuses if we want to. But for some reason, God called me to preach. And if I don't preach, I'm not right with God. And if God's gifted you to sing and you don't sing, you're not right with God either. Any questions? Are you doing your part? Are you doing your part? If God's gifted you, and by the way, everybody has a gift. Everybody has a gift. Then do it for the glory of God. Amen? Do it for the glory of God. I'm just about through. Visitor is being shown around a leper colony in India. And at noon, a gong sounded for the midday meal, and people came from all parts of the compound, the dining hall, and all of a sudden there was laughter just filling the air, and there were two young men, one riding on the other's back, and they were pretending to be a horse and his rider. They're having loads of fun. Just picture this in your mind. There's another guy just riding the back of somebody else and just acting like he was a horse and just having a good time. When they got closer, they noticed something about these two. They noticed that the one who was running couldn't see. He was blind. But they also noticed that the one who couldn't run, because he was lame, wasn't blind. In other words, one couldn't walk because he was lame. The other one couldn't see because he was blind. So the one who could see used his eyes, and the one who could run used his legs. And they helped each other get to lunch that day. Isn't that beautiful? Let me ask you a question. What kind of a church could we have here? Now, we've got a great church. Please, please don't misunderstand me. But what kind of a church could we have here if everybody lived their life like that? I can't walk. God didn't gift me for that, but he gifted me to do that. So I'll help you do this if you'll help me do that. Can you imagine? Could you imagine? God help us to do what he's gifted us to do. The Bible tells us in the book of Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, don't turn to it. The Bible says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. That whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. God wants his children to strive together for the faith of the gospel. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 1:10, it says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. I ask you a question tonight, are you a member of the one body of Christ? It's a blessing to be a single member of God's body. It really is. But if you are a single member of his body, he has set you in the body in the way that's pleased him. And we need to all understand that whoever we are, we're not to get jealous and we're not to be proud. We are to be thankful that God has put us in his body. We're to be thankful that he's made us what he's made us. And we are to do our job faithfully, because we see, as I do my job and the foot does its job and the head does its job and the finger does its job and the toes do their job and all the inner organs do their job, then the one body is healthy. It's moving forward. It's getting things accomplished. It's building itself. It's getting things done for the glory of God. And I ask you a question. What are you doing in the body of Christ? Are you doing your job faithfully? Does somebody need to come and say, Jody, I believe God's gifted me to sing. I need to start using that gift. I believe God's gifted me to be a teacher. I believe God would have me do that. Some of you say, you know, maybe I can't do much, but I'll tell you one thing. I can get my CDL and I can drive a bus. Wait a minute. It may not be something big, but I'm a lady and I'll sign up for the nursery. You say, that's not big. In God's eyes, it is. Because it's all important to him. And I give you this story. I close. Here it is. In a certain mountain village in Europe several centuries ago, a man wondered what legacy he should leave to his townspeople. Finally, he decided to build a church for a legacy. The complete plans for the church were kept secret, and when the people gathered, they marveled at the church's beauty and completeness. But following many comments of praise, an observer asked a question. He said, where are the lamps? Now, keep in mind, this is several centuries ago. They didn't have electricity like this. There was no lights. He said, where's the lights? How are we going to see? Without answering, the nobleman pointed to some brackets in the wall. And he then gave to each family a lamp. And every service, they were to light their lamp and light their part of the building. If they weren't there, the part of the building was dark, where their light should be shining. And I ask you a question. If we cut off the lights, and spiritually speaking, gave you a lamp to take home, and that lamp is a picture of you doing what God wants you to do with your life. I'm not talking about church attendance because you're faithful at that. God bless you. I'm talking about getting busy for God, doing something for the Lord. If your lamp burns whenever you're doing your duty, or if it's out when you're not, is your part of the building lit? Or is it dark? Jody, you don't know me. I can't do anything. You'll be surprised what God can do with somebody who says, I can't. Does the name Moses ring a bell to you? I think God used him in a marvelous way, don't you? And he can use you too. Will you do your part faithfully? Recognizing the importance of the many members, yet one body. May the Lord drive it on our heart. Amen. Let's pray together. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Father, take it and use it in a mighty way. Please do your will tonight. Work and move, I pray. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. As the ladies prepare here, they're going to begin to play in just a moment. But Father, I pray that you help me to take this message, and may you use it and apply it to our lives. Have you know for sure that you are a member of the body of Christ? It's been a time in your life when you've trusted Christ and Christ alone. And you know if you drop dead that you're going to heaven. You don't hope so. You know so. Have you know that for sure? Would you raise your hand? You know that for sure? God bless you. You can put your hands back down. Somebody tonight say, Jody, I can't raise my hand to that. I don't have the assurance in my heart that I am a single member of the one body of Christ. You say, Jody, would you pray for me? Anybody like that, would you raise your hand? I'm looking. My eyes are surfing. Have you ever trusted Christ and Christ alone? Let me ask you this. Do you know where God has gifted you? You realize every gift, James chapter number 1, every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights. The good gifts come down from God. For instance, one of the gifts that he's gifted me in is athletics. I'm not too much right now because I've got a hurt ankle. Even without my hurt ankle, I'm still not much now. But God gifted me in that area in my life. You know where I started preaching? In FCA groups. What's that? That's Fellowship in a Christian Athletes. See, God used that gift to get a hold of my heart. Do you see that? Have you say, Jody, I know my gift. Your gift may be teaching. Your gift may be preaching. Your gift may be a bus captain, your gift may be singing. Your gift, you say, Jody, I know where I'm gifted. Now listen, this is not being proud. This is just you recognizing God's gift in your life. And you say, Jody, I recognize what my gift is. Some of you may have more than one. But you say, Jody, I know what my gift is, or gifts. Would you be an honest person? Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. You say, I know what my gift is. I know what it is. If you got your hand raised, I want you to lower it, but I want you to look at me just a moment. You can put your hands down. Just you who know this. Here's my question. Whatever you're raising your hand about, are you using it? Are you busy with it? Don't die with potential. You understand? If he's given you a gift to teach, teach. If he's given you a gift to sing, sing. If he's given you a gift to build buildings, then give it to God. Maybe you can start taking mission trips and help these mission. This is one of my burdens, to start establishing mission teams, that talking about adult mission teams that go around the world and help our missionaries build buildings and have revival meetings in those buildings that are not even built yet. The roof's not even on the top, but we're still seeing people saved in those buildings. Why don't you say, God's gifted me in this, and I want to use it for God. If you're not using it, I challenge you that you'll start today. If you are, keep it up and do more.
I want you to bow your head. How many of you say, Jody, I don't know what my gift is. I don't know what it is. You say, I need help finding it. And there are people like that, no doubt about it. But you say, Jody, I need help finding my gift. Would you be an honest person? Would you raise your hand? You say, I need help finding my gift. Yes. If you got your hand raised, I want you to look at me, please. That's some teenagers. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. How do you find your gift? One day at a time. You keep doing what God's told you to do today, and then He'll start revealing it to you more and more. And may the Lord help you. May God help you with this. If you've got your eyes looking at me right now, I'm going to ask you to respond in just a moment to this altar. And why don't you start out on your knees begging God to show you what the gift is He's given you? And He will. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take it, use it, I pray, in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's singing. If God's speaking to you, you teenagers, why don't you leave your place? Why don't you come to the altar? God help you with it. As He sings, would you come?
All to Jesus
I surrender.
All to Him I freely give.
I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence daily live.
I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
Let's sing that second verse, Brother Gary.
All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender.
Playing through. If you're standing, I'd like you to look this way. People still praying. I've made it a matter of my personal prayer list. One of the major things I'm praying for myself. This is the major thing I'm praying for myself right now, and that is, God, don't let me hinder what You're doing. I just don't want to hinder You. Whatever You want to do, that's what I want to do. That's what I want for my marriage. That's what I want for my children. That's what I want for this church. That's what I want for next week. I want God to show up and be unhindered. Wouldn't that be a great thing? What I'd like to do, I'd like to challenge all the deacons and all the deacons' wives. I'd like to challenge the Sunday school workers, the teachers, the superintendents who feel led to do this. And anybody else in the church who'd like to do this, I'd like to close this meeting on our knees begging God for His help as we visit, for His help as we call, for His help as we prepare for next week, to keep the weather clear so we can run the buses, and that God will meet with us in a marvelous way. I believe the Lord have us do this. So I ask all those on staff and all the deacons and their wives and all the Sunday school workers, superintendent, anybody else who feels led to do this. You may not be a leader in the church, but if you feel led, you help yourself. You come right ahead. Let's end this on our knees. I'm going to ask everybody else who's not coming forward, if you wouldn't mind, just to have a seat there, and we're going to conclude in prayer. We're going to ask the Lord to meet with us. Anybody else who wants to come, I want you to come. How about you bus workers? How about you bus captains? Why don't you and your family come? Why don't you and your wife, the bus drivers, all of you, why don't you feel led to come? All those who work on the buses, why don't you come? And we'll close this in prayer. May the Lord help us with it. I challenge, as I pray out loud, I want you to pray silently there at your seat. Let's beg God for His help this week. She's just going to continue to play. And as I pray, God will help us. Our Lord, we thank You tonight for Your goodness. We've gone over a little bit tonight, but I believe, God, that You're pleased with it. I thank You for the good response. I pray that you help these who came forward to find their gift. I pray, Lord, that you help them to find it and help them to be faithful in doing it. I pray for us this week, God. As we go about our separate ways, would you help us to be faithful in being soul conscious, doing your will from the heart. Take care of the weather this week. Give us a great visitation push. Give us a great effort. And Lord, but we lay it out before you. May thy will be done. May many people walk the aisle and trust Jesus Christ, God. That's what it's all about. Help us. Help those who stand to teach to be empowered from on high. Help me as I preach in this service next Sunday morning. Oh God, would you break my heart? Would you make the message clear? Would you save souls? Would you do your will? Bless us now and give us a burden like we've never had. Use us in a mighty way. May thy precious will be done. In Jesus' name. She's still playing. If you're through praying, I want you to stay right where you're at, but I'd like you to look this way. Whether you're on your knees at the altar, whether you're in your seat. I've gone over a little bit. I'm not going to ask you to forgive me because I believe God's in it. I want to challenge you to do something with me this week. Along with taking these flyers out and giving them out. There's several of them back in the back. At 6 o'clock Saturday night, wherever you're at, I'm not going to call a meeting here, but just wherever you're at, I'm going to ask anybody who will commit to this, at 6 o'clock Saturday evening, that you'll stop what you're doing for a half an hour from 6 to 6:30, and that you'll pray for the day next Sunday. I trust you'll be praying for it all week, but specifically, I want to meet you. Like Dr. Sexton said here, I want to meet you at God's throne 6 o'clock Saturday night. Let's beg God to do something in our midst. Amen. Amen. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand for that. That's between you and the Lord. I want you to talk about it. But you know, some things you don't have to pray about, folks, you know. You don't have to pray about some things. Let's talk to God. I'm so burdened. I want to see people saved. They're all over the place. And I do so little praying about it. Let's change that. Let's beg God to help us. Meet with us. Let's do our part. And it's a fact God will do his part. Amen. Let's sing that chorus and you can be dismissed back to your seat. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence daily live. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. God bless you. I'm going to go ahead and dismiss all the youth teachers to go to the men's classroom, all the teenagers and their parents. It'll be brief, trust me. If you'll make your way downstairs at this time, and everybody else, if you'll stand, please, we'll be dismissed in prayer. If you're a visitor with us tonight, please take your visitor's card to the back. Back in the lobby, we've got a special gift just for you. Be working hard this week, folks. Let's pray together and you can be dismissed. Brother Leroy, if you don't mind, sir, to lift your voice and pray for us, sir, please.